This morning, I would like to share with you on a topic of trap of self-reliance. Trap of self-reliance. When we as believers came to Jesus Christ and He has saved us, I believe each one of us in that moment realized we cannot save ourselves. And that's why we needed Christ, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit that came into us and saved us and transformed us and changed us. But often in our journey with the Lord, some of us have many, many, many years walking with the Lord, and some of us maybe a few. But it comes a moment in our lives where some of the circumstances we might face, it's not that we don't trust the Lord, but we come to that conclusion, if I can figure this out, I'll be okay. If I can maybe make some phone calls, I'll be all right. If I can have connections, I'll make it through. And each one of us come to those places that we're desperate for answers. We're filled with fears. We have questions in our life. And usually this happens when we're alone, when we are at home, when nobody sees us. Because when we're around people, we are strong, we put a smile, we have it all together. But deep inside of our hearts, we struggle from time to time. And yet you might feel like a failure. This morning you might feel like you're not a strong believer. You should be better than where you are. And through that, even condemnation can come into our life. Self-pity can come into our life. And that's the most vulnerable moments, that's the most vulnerable seasons in our life, to fall into the trap of self-reliance. It's not that we're not aware that God is there or that we are not turning to Him. It's the journey that we are on seems so hopeless, filled with fear and uncertainty, that you convince yourself that you have to figure out how to get out of that mess. Let me tell you, the greatest man in the Word of God went through that as well. The greatest people that were filled with faith, we encounter in our journey moments like that. But when we encounter moments like that in our life, we're not to run away from the Lord, but to cry out to Him. I want to read a scripture that all of us probably heard and read before. And this scripture is written in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 and down. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 and down. We're going to read a portion and then we'll come back later on to this scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 says this. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag, on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negeb and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the woman and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way. Verse 3. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Aholam and Jerel, and Abigail, the widows of Nabal the Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each of his sons and daughters. Now, when we hear the story, because we know how the story ends, we have hope. But in the moment that David was living the story, he was filled with fear. Let me take you and say more than that. The story of Ziklag, David should never be in Ziklag. We are rejoicing, reading the story, and knowing that God with His mighty hand delivered them and gave power and strength to David to go and deliver their families. But the question would be fair to ask this morning, why was David in Ziklag in the first place? What brought him there? What were the circumstances that you find yourself in the enemy's camp? And if we go back a little bit, we would read the story of how David was chosen by God to be the second king of Israel. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. David, growing up as a young man, he knew that the Holy Spirit has called him to do things that he could not do in his strength. To protect the sheep, to take down Goliath, and all of the things that happened in his life, he relied upon the Lord. I think it took more faith to slay Goliath than to trust that God, you will bring me to the place that you promised me, that I'll be the next king. But yet in the moment where David is struggling, in the moment where he's going through a hard time and Saul is after his life, David had two opportunities to take him out. Had two opportunities, and his mighty men around him says, listen, we will take care of him. And David says, no, I'm gonna trust the Lord. I'm not gonna raise my hand against God's anointed man. Even though Saul was filled not with the Spirit of God, but with evil spirits. In the moments when he wanted to kill David, even in the moment when he was wrong, even in the moment where he was doing evil things, David did not fear Saul, but he feared God. And he says, listen, I'd rather trust the Lord and him in God's hands than deal with him in my own strength. So think about this. He's in a cave. Saul is sleeping. Two times he has the opportunity to take his life, and he doesn't. He says, I'm gonna trust the Lord. And the very next chapter, in 1 Samuel 27, this is the story of how David ended up in Ziklag. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1 and down. Then David said in his heart, now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. David, you had the opportunity to take his life. The very chapter before then and a few chapters before then, you were face to face with Saul. He was sleeping. You had the opportunity to take him out. What convinced you that now your life is in jeopardy from the very man that you had the upper hand over? But he says some of the things in his heart, in the lowest of the lowest moments in his life. He began to speak with himself. And his heart was filled with fear, with uncertainty. And instead of trusting the Lord, the way he just told his people to trust God, don't kill him. We trust God. God is gonna take care of him. He fell into the trap of self-reliance instead of trusting the Lord. And he says, well, I have to take care of myself. I have to do all of the things that I must do to protect myself, to protect my family. No longer I'm gonna trust the Lord, so to speak, but I'm gonna fall in the very trap that I'm teaching the people around me not to do. And David, being one of the greatest leaders, he did mistakes. He fell. He was filled with sin, but yet he also knew how to repent. And maybe this morning, you're finding yourself in Ziklag, in places that you should not be, in places that you never thought that you would end up in, but you end up in because of the decision and choices you have made. This morning, I hope in the end of this message, your heart will be filled with hope, knowing that God wants you to lead you out of there. You might got yourself into a place that you wish you never been there. But this morning, God wants to deliver you once and for all. And the Bible says this, and David said in his heart, now I shall perish on the day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should escape to the land of the Philistines. David, you killed Goliath. You were fighting all of your life against the enemy. And now with that very thing that threatened your life before, that you walked in the power of God and you had victory over, in the moment of fear and weakness and distress, you are giving in to make peace with whatever, what you are supposed to fight against. The question this morning that I would like to ask all of us, what are some of the things that we have made peace with and the very things that God has called me and you to fight against? Not in our flesh, but with the Spirit of God. The Bible in Corinthians talks very clearly about the principles of a Spirit-filled man and a flesh Spirit-filled man. The works of the Spirit are very clear and the works of the flesh are also very clear. And me and you are called to flee the temptations, to push against the desires of the flesh that wants to overcome us. Because the plan of the enemy was, always is, and always will be to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come to give us life, and not just life, but life in abundance. Not only in eternity, but here in this journey of tears, value, pain, sickness, problems, setbacks, all of the things that we're facing in our life, Jesus is willing and promised us life in abundance through the trials that we're going through. And the very thing that he was supposed to fight against, he made peace with. In different words, he says, well, I'll find safety. I'd rather live with the enemy and know that nobody is after me than to live in this journey that is filled by faith and always be like a watchman on a wall. My brothers, my sisters, I'd rather be a watchman on a wall. I'd rather be always in a journey, even if it's filled with a position, knowing that God is with me. He's not gonna let me down. David knew that. But in a moment of weakness, I don't know what got a hold of David, but I know this. Maybe this happened for me and for you this morning to be reminded that if things like this can happen with David, things like this can happen with us. And we're not exempt from the journey of troubles, temptations, and opposition. But God says that I am with you always and I will help you. And then he continues, then Saul would despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand. So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. The decisions of David that not only affected David and his family, but his decisions also affected other people's lives. My brothers, my sisters, let us remember that our decisions not only affect me. If you are married, it affects your marriage. And if you have kids, it affects your family. And if you have relatives, it affects your relatives. And if you have friends, it affects them as well. And David, with his two wives. Verse 4. And when it was told Saul, David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. Isn't it amazing? The moments when we're making peace with the things that we're supposed to fight against, it seems like we live in freedom. No longer we are being pursued by anything. No longer we are being pursued, so to speak, by the enemy, because we made peace with the very enemy. Verse 5, then David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given to me in the country or in this town that I may dwell there. For why should your servants dwell in the royal city with you? So that day Achish gave Ziklag. That's how David ended up in Ziklag. This is how he and his family and the mighty man came to that city of Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. It was not overnight. Anything that we make deal with and peace with, that only we think it's maybe for a weekend. Well, it's only a Friday night. I can just swing to the left and go to that bar. It's just a Friday night thing. Well, it's only a little bit. It's only a few minutes of something that I should not be seeing. What can this do to me? I don't think David had a plan to go there for almost a year and a half and hang out in the enemy's camp. He thought maybe this is a quick thing to calm my emotions down because I'm fearful that Saul is after me. I want to live. Maybe he did not know fully what he's getting himself into. And what he was willing to make peace with for a short period of time took a year and a half almost out of his life. My brothers and my sisters, the things that in the lowest of the lowest moments of our life, when we're stressed, when we're going through trouble, when we're going through anxiety, when we're going through fears, what are we turning to? And if we're not turning to the Lord, the thing that we're saying, it's only for a few minutes, it's only for one night, it's only one phone call, it's only one event, might drag you into a long journey that we did not expect. Verse 8, now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites and the Gittites and the Amalekites. For this were the inhabitants of the land of the old, as far as Shur to the land of Egypt. Verse 9, and David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive. Can you imagine the things that David began to do? And it all started with one of the things. In the moment of weakness, in the moment of fear, in the moment of saying, I don't know what I'm going to do next, I'm going to make peace with the enemy. Not only he's living in the place where he should never been in the first place, but now he starts killing children. He starts killing wives. He starts doing things that he would never probably thought he would do. But would take away the sheep and the oxen and donkey, the camels and the garments, and came back to Achish. You see, he became a murderer. He became a thief. He lost after things. He wanted things. He became the very thing that he was fighting against, and he did not want to become one of those things. But now David finds himself doing things like a snowball. Once you start doing things in life, just a little bit, they turn into big things. Verse 10, and Achish asked, where have you made raids today? David would say, against an Egypt of Judah, or against an Egypt of Jeremiah, or against an Egypt of the Kenites. And David would leave neither man or woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking, lest they should tell about us. Lest they should tell about us and say, so David has done. Such was his custom. You see, his custom. It became a lifestyle in his life that he was doing these things. And he was hiding and he was lying of the things that he was doing. All the while, he lived in the country of the Philistines. Verse 12. And Achish trusted David, thinking, he has made himself an utter stench to his people Israel. Therefore, he shall always be my servant. And this is the plan of the enemy. And his desire is to do the plans that he wants you to do that are contrary to the word of God with the condition, by you doing that, the plan is that you will always be his servants. That you will always bow down to lying, cheating, stealing, killing. Everything that the enemy is doing, that the desire of his heart is for us to join him in the things that he's doing. And that you will do all of these things for the rest of your life. But I thank God that his plan is different. I thank God that his plan is to deliver me and you, to give us freedom, and to bring us to the promises and into the promises of the Lord. And now, in my closing, I want to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. That it says this. In verse 6, the last few words of the verse 6. When they came against him, they were thinking even to stone him. They were thinking even to turn against David because the clack was in fire. David's decision brought repercussions in his life. And then David says this, well, I better get my act together. And for the first time, it's recorded. that in 1 year and 4 months, David is praying again. For the very first time now, in almost in 1 year and a half, David, in the moment of distress, is going to the Lord. Why couldn't you do this before a few chapters? You see, the chapter ends that David went and made peace with the enemy and lived in Ziklag, and there is a big gap and only short things of what David did. I think if all the things that were would be written, what David did in that city, it would be a horrible story. He killed. He lost. He took. He stole. He became a liar to save his skin. And don't we do that? When we make peace with the things in our life that we're not supposed to, one lie will lead to another lie to cover this lie. One drink will lead to another drink to calm your emotions down. One pill will lead to another pill to justify that it's just a prescription from the doctor. But in reality, there are things in our life that we're dealing with. Is that because we don't want to bring them to the Lord? Is that because we're questioning God, can you even help me? I know you saved me. I know you've done this in the past, but right now, God, I don't know about this right now. And he passed 1 year, 4 months. Everything is lost. He doesn't know where his wife is. He doesn't know where the children are. His friends that were there to give their lives for David, now they want to kill David because they feel like David betrayed them. And everybody is upset. And in that moment, he says this, but David went to the Lord and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And he began to ask God for guidance. God, should I pursue the enemy? What should I do? I think a little bit differently. If there was a moment, David probably should have fell on his face and say, God, forgive me. What are you doing in my life? Have mercy upon me. I've done wrong. But even in those moments, David knows that without God, he can't do anything. So he runs to the Lord and says, I want to pursue the enemy and take everything what he took from me. And he took from me the most precious thing. It's my family. The closest relationships. It's my children. That's what the enemy has taken. You see, our decisions as parents, our decisions as individuals, our decisions as married couples, does not only affect us, it affects our families, it affects all of us. I've heard Dr. Colin a while back said this, when we are born, we look like our parents, but when we die, we look like our decisions. And that's the story in David's life. That's the story in his life right now, but he knows that it's not too late to run to Jesus Christ. It's not too late to run to God. And even that moment, he runs to the Lord and he says, God, give me guidance. I blew it. I blew it. And I'm going to strengthen myself in you. In 1 year and a half, he took a pause and was led by the flesh. And now he comes back to the Lord and says, God, I need you. Because without you, I cannot do this. I need you. And that's how David ended up in Ziklag. Because he was filled with fear, he began to talk with himself, with his heart, with his insecurities. And that led him to make peace with the very thing that he was supposed to fight against. And this morning, I believe that Psalm 1, when David wrote the Psalm 1 about the different people or different qualities of people that will find themselves at the waters and the roots to go deep and to bring fruit in all the seasons of his life. Not some, not the best seasons, but in every season. Also, he knew that like unrighteous people, not to find yourself on a seat of unrighteous. He knew. Why? Because he was there. He experienced both. He experienced to be in the company of unrighteous. And he knew where it led his life to. But he also knew the grace and the mercies of God when he turned to the Lord. And that he found the living water. And that's why he says, make a decision. I tried the bold, but I'd rather be with God. I tried the bold, but I'd rather run to the Lord, even when I fail. And that's why he was also able to write this psalm, Psalm 40. And he starts the very words saying this, I waited patiently for the Lord. You see, the problem was in the story that I read, he got impatient. He did not want to wait anymore. He wanted answers right now. He was filled with fear and he made peace with the enemy. But now, after the Lord restored him, he writes for me and for you the psalm and says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew up from the pit of destruction out of the mighty clay and set my feet upon the rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man and the woman who makes the Lord his and her trust, who does not turn to proud. David experienced all of these things. He's not just talking things just to write things down. He experienced all of these things because a moment was in his life when he turned to all of the things that he's just saying, don't turn to those who go astray after lie. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. And that's the story of David, that he says, you know what? Enough is enough. God has promised me kingdom, and if he has promised me something, he will bring me to it. God has promised me healing and restoration. I'm not gonna fall in the trap of self-pity. I'm not gonna fall into the trap of self-reliance and trying to figure this out. He will bring me to. I just have to walk in obedience. I just have to wait on the Lord. And he will come and pick me out of that mighty clay and set my feet and your feet on the rock. In different words, he will make our life stable in him. He will cause me and you to live victoriously. And David was able to be one of the greatest men, a man after God's own heart, a failure, a murderer, a cheater, a fallen man, a man that would not qualify for anything today with all the qualifications that we have. But because he ran to the Lord, God says, I'm gonna transform you and make you into a man who I desire you to be. Now in moments of distress, in moments of pain, in moments of problems, of weaknesses, of temptations, where are the things we turn to? And my brothers and my sisters, I know that you can say, whatever what you're sharing is very easy for you to just say things, but you don't know what I'm going through, and I don't. But Jesus knows. I've also had seasons in my life, in my 20s, where I was fighting with sin, where I was fighting with things in my life, and in one moment you enjoy things, in another moment you're weeping over them because you know you are called to be free. I know sometimes the pain that you might feel and the traps that you find yourself in, but I also know the other side of victory. But I also know how God came into my life and transformed my life and changed me once and for all. I also know that in the moments where I tried to figure things in my own and seek victory in my own, I failed even more. But this morning, I also want to remind you to come to Jesus, and he will lead you back to him, and he will lead you to the places where the enemy has stolen things for you to say, in the name of Jesus, my children belongs in the house of God. In the name of Jesus, my marriage should be made whole. In the name of Jesus, I should have victory over the things that are trying to steal my peace. In the name of Jesus, I will go back to those places and claim them back for the Lord, because my house shall serve the Lord. But it takes humility and takes willingness. For David, it took almost a year and a half to come to that conclusion. How long will it take me and you to come to that conclusion? And that's the answer only me and you can answer. For some of us, it may be many, many years. that we've been walking in defeat. Not because God did not obtain victory for me and for you, but because we gave into the lie that making peace with the enemy, it's better than fighting the enemy in faith. This morning, I'm reminding you and me that God gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to stand. That God is fighting for us. We just are called to stand in that victory and to believe and embrace the promises of God. And at times it's hard. It's not easy. But nothing comes easy. Amen? For the redemption to happen, Jesus had to die. And for us to live, our flesh has to die. Father, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you for your word that transforms our lives. God, thank you. Even in the New Testament, Apostle Paul reminds us that whoever we make peace with and allow it into our lives, it will dominate our lives. But God, I also thank you, and we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. That when we are led by the Spirit, we will fulfill the word of God in our lives. We will bear fruit. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that even though David, for a year and a half, was doing the things that he should never have done, was in a place that you have not called him to be. Thank you, Lord, that when he cried out to you a year and a half later, you heard his cry. God, thank you that in our life, it might be a few months, it might be a few weeks, or for some, it might be even long years or decades. But this morning, our heart is to cry out to you, lead me out of this place and into your promises. And I pray that you would hear your people. I pray for the mothers that are crying out, for the fathers that are crying out for their marriage, that you would heal their marriage. God, I pray that you would do a miracle in the families that are struggling. I pray that you would deliver them from the thoughts and the things they made peace with, that they will never walk in victory, that their marriage will never be beautiful again. Lord, but I pray that this morning, they will cry out to you, they will come back to you, and they will ask you to lead them back to those places from the beginning where it started. As you spoke to the church and you said you forsook the first love, God, I pray that you will not only awaken the love of Christ in us towards you, but also towards each other, because by that we are known that we are your children. I pray that this morning you will hear the cry of the parents that are crying for their children. Almost every family is affected in this sanctuary, God, of someone that have turned away and chosen the world. God, I pray this morning that we would not sleep and we will not just be in peace with what is going on, but we are crying out to you for them and we're asking them, God, bring them home. Bring them home. Don't give them peace, whatever where they are. And I also pray as David prayed. Lead us to them, O Father. Help us not to just pray, but also to get up and go to the places where they are and speak hope and peace. God, I pray that this morning you'll give us the courage that we need to stand from the places that we have made peace with. The places that we are visiting, that nobody even knows. David did not belong in Ziklag. And we don't belong in the places of this world. But God, we belong in your presence. And I pray that you would give us the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would give us the victory. That when temptations come, that we will not give in. That we will not agree with the plans of the enemy. And that we will not try to preserve our lives in our own strength. But we will say, God help me. God help me. And I know that you're always there to help. And like David, you restored him. and he became a king. God, I pray that the calls that you have upon your children, the gifts of the Spirit that you have upon your children, God, I pray that we would be reminded this morning that there's still yes and amen. That you restore our hearts and you call us to the other side to walk in victory and to serve you with everything that we have. Help us, O Lord, never to live in condemnation, but to live a life of conviction that will lead us to you, closer to you, and cause us to live in victory. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that we're not going to rely upon ourselves and our own strength and our own plans in moments of weakness. But God, in those moments, teach us to cry out to you, because you are our helper in a time of need. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you that we are in the right place this morning in your presence to learn from your word and to be reminded that you are not rejecting us, but you are calling us to yourself. And for that, we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Pavel, for such a powerful word this morning. And I have something for those of you who have responded, and those who have responded in your heart too as well. David was a teenager when he came into the camp of Israel, and he heard the voice of a giant, which represented the epitome of strength of what the enemy had against the people of God. And he came out every morning and he said, "Choose a man to fight with me. And if you can defeat me, we will be your servants. But if I defeat him, you will be our servants forever." And David, when he was a teenager, fought against that evil that he eventually joined forces with. And in chapter 27, where Pastor Pavel was speaking, said, "So Achish believed David, saying, 'He's made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever.'" Same words. "He will be my servant forever." But here's the key. The enemy said, "He has made his own people abhor him." And that's a stronghold the devil tries to put in people's lives. If people knew what you have been doing, if people knew what I have been doing, they would abhor me. They would reject me. They would not receive me as part of the body of Christ. And even deeper than that, the enemy says, God himself abhors you. David had spent a year and 4 months murdering, lying, doing all kinds of things that he shouldn't have been doing. And the enemy comes and says, basically, God abhors you for what you've been doing. But when he finally, after 16 months, he turns back to prayer again, where he had left off prayer and seeking of God, started to be governed by his own thinking, which led him into practices he never thought he would do. But the scripture says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He turned back to the only thing he knew where strength was. And I love the fact, it says, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Interesting here, God doesn't say, "What have you been doing for the last 16 months? Doesn't take time to rub his face in his failure and his sin. The first words out of God's mouth is, "Get up and go after what you thought you had lost, and without fail, you will recover everything the enemy has taken from you." Praise be to God for the mercy of God and the goodness of God, the calling of God, the covering of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. Oh, I just love it. I love it. And it reminds me of the prodigal son when he got up to come home after all the mess he had made. The father doesn't say a word to him. He just says, "Cover him, empower him, invite him, kill the fatted calf, bring forth the band. We're going to have a celebration for my son that's come home." And I love the fact that God does not feel about him the way Achish does, the way he might feel about himself. And it would be so stunning at this point, after all that he had done, and he goes, says, "God, what am I going to do?" And God just says, "Get up, go forward. I'll give you back everything that's been taken from you." And that's the word I feel that came to us today. For anybody here that feels like God abhors me, and or if the people knew how I was living, they would reject me, or what I had done, they would reject me. That's not true. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's just settle it right now. There's not one righteous in ourselves, not even one. And David once said in the Psalms, if God marked iniquity, who among us would stand? Not one. Nobody would stand. If God held us to account for our thoughts, come on. If anybody here didn't think a thought you shouldn't think this week, then you are brain dead. That's all I can say. But if you are living, you probably thought something you shouldn't think. You might have even thought it this morning, something you shouldn't think. And if God held you to account, no, the mercy of God is deeper than we can understand. The power, the provision of God, the willingness of God to bring us into the inheritance he's given us in Christ Jesus. So don't fall to the lie that I've gone too far. Don't fall to the lie that I've done something or I've lived in such a way that not even God wants me anymore. Don't fall for that lie. Rise up and pursue. That's what he said. In other words, David, get back up and run into the valley again. We're going to go back to where it all began. There's another giant to defeat. There's more victories to be won. And not just for yourself, but you're going to bring your family home and your kids home and others around you home and your friends home. And the 600 men that have followed you, they're going to come home too. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Father, I just thank you for victory, Lord. There's nothing but victory in your kingdom. Thank you, God, for you show us these little gems of your heart in Scripture, and we begin to understand, God, that with God, all things still are possible. Thank you for a mercy that is beyond our comprehension. When we abhor ourselves, if my own heart, the Scripture says, condemns me, God is greater than my heart. Thank you, Lord. Your mercy is deeper, it's richer, it's fuller than anything I've ever known, comprehended, or ever understood. So all I can do is get up and go forward and believe, God, that whatever I've left behind will be recovered again. Whatever the enemy has tried to get his hand into will be destroyed. Father, we thank you for this, and we give you praise and we give you glory in the mighty, unmatchable name of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing that song one more time. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And if you should have been at this altar today, would you just come? Would you just get out of your seat and come down here before somebody comes back to pray for you? Just come. That's all I can say. It's nobody's business why you're coming. And don't let anybody ask you, because it's nobody's business but yours and God's. You just get out of your seat. You just come and say, I'm getting up and I'm going forward. I'm getting up. I'm not living here any longer. I'm going to pursue what's been left behind. I'm going to pursue what the enemy tried to steal out of my home, my family, my mind, my life, my testimony, whatever it is. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm getting up and I'm going with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come. Just come, whoever you are. Just come. There's victory in Christ. There's victory in Christ. There's a future in Christ. The glory of God wants to be shown again through your life. We're going to sing it, and as we do, you just come. You just come. Come, ye maimed. Come, ye lame. Come, ye blind. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Don't labor for that which doesn't satisfy. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, Jesus said. He who believes in me, as the Scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. 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 Don't sit there any longer. Let's go together. Let's pursue this power of darkness in our generation. Let's receive our families raised back to life again by the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah.